Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hagan.
How you guys doing?
It's good to have you back, Chris. Always happy to have you back as our normal co-host. And we have a quick schedule today, quick morning schedule right before free agency. We had a big Max Crosby trade last night. We have Jason Tatum played last night. We had to talk about for about 5 minutes. And then we're going to do some predictions for free agency. We're going to get right into it. We're getting, you know, as we said, we're diving in our waist deep here in free agency starting next week. So it's time to take some more predictions, take some more some dart shots, and we'll see where these people land. We'll get into Tatum first. Jason Tatum played last night for the first time since last year in the playoffs when he tore his Achilles against the Knicks. It was a long process, but quicker than it seemed like anyone's ever done it, at least for basketball. It seems like the quickest Achilles turnaround possible, honestly. I don't know how it's possibly done. He played yesterday. He started. They played the Dallas Mavericks. They beat the Dallas Mavericks. And he had 15, 7, and 7. So he played pretty well. He started off slow. Clearly, looked like he was injured. He just looked like he was just a version of Jason Tatum that couldn't jump as high. And that's kind of exactly what I expected. He instantly started passing. He instantly started getting rebounds, which the rebounds I was surprised about. I knew he was going to be able to pass. He always was able to pass, even well before the injury, and I figured that wouldn't go away. But him being able to rebound, he got a double-double with 10 rebounds. It is let me pull up his complete stat line because I lost track of it. But
he had 7 rebounds.
Yeah, no, I messed it up. He did have 10. He ended up with 10. It was 12 rebounds, 7 assists, and 15. So I was off. Yeah, he had. The percentages were bad. That made sense. 6 for 16 field goal percentage. That makes sense. He's coming off an injury. He's taking jumpers still. He would look comfortable though. Surprisingly. I didn't think that would be possible coming off this Achilles tear. And he played physical. Of course, he never went to the rim anyways, so I didn't expect him to start going to the rim now. He didn't. But it's just cool to see him back. And he clearly was everyone was worried. He played number two to Jaylen Brown pretty fine. I don't think he's going to come in and start demanding 30 shots a game instantly or 45 minutes a game instantly. He played 27 minutes. That's actually longer than I expected him to play, but he looked like normal Jason Tatum. Honestly, he looked like Jason Tatum recovering from an injury, and that's really what I wanted to see. I wanted to see nothing else get hurt. He had a couple dunks, he hit an alley oop, which scared the shit out of me. Like, why are we throwing him an alley oop? But he did it, and he landed on his feet, and then he ran to the other side of the court. So it's super impressive stuff. And honestly, it's like, I know there's always going to be Jason Tatum haters because he's corny. Even in his documentary, he says, I'm not coming back to be no role player. Like, that's a little corny. But I feel like this is one of those stories where it's like, if you're really dragging to hate on this guy right now, if you're going to hate on him, at this current moment. I saw, of course, it was NBA hater report. He missed the dunk early in the game. He did it. He went up. It was like a perfect, this is the moment. It was his first points. He had 0 points. And he freaking short rims it because he's not used to it. Like, he mistimed it. And some hater report reposted it. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, this guy's coming back from an Achilles injury. But honestly, the rumors were all year round, of course. And I never knew what to believe. But here we are. The rumors are over. And Tatum is back on the Boston Celtics.
It is crazy he made it back that far. Or that fast. I wonder if, now that a player has done it that quickly, that'll be, the new bar. I feel like the more advanced we get with medical technology, the quicker these athletes can recover. But it always feels like, I'm sure as a fan, throwing him alley-oops, you're like, can we relax a little bit? Can we just play him a couple minutes and just let him get his cardio in to ramp him back up? But yeah, I think the only reason that people hate on him is because he's a Celtic. If he was playing in Utah, nobody would really. Utah's always the example.
It's the example for anything in the NFL, yeah.
But even if he was in, I don't know,
I feel like if he was in
Stronger
Miami, people would like him.
than Miami.
Yeah, like if he was in, I know what you mean. If he was in Orlando, if he's basically like Paolo, like if he was in Orlando and they ended up with the same run, everyone would be like, oh, this, they'd be like the new Golden State. They'd be like, everyone loves Orlando. Like it would be, yeah, it would be completely different. You have a good
Yeah,
point on
it's
that one.
Lakers, Celtics,
Knicks.
Knicks, yeah, probably Sixers.
Yeah, and now I don't even know about the Sixers, but I think now Golden State for sure. I think that's the
Yeah,
fourth one.
now Golden State.
Yeah, but they were the ones they got turned into that. So maybe
Correct.
the Spurs too. People are getting sick of the Spurs getting good now that they have Wemby
Yeah, I
too.
mean, it's times in a row
What'd you say?
draft, like three
Yeah,
dud big
generational
men.
prospects.
That's not cool.
No, it's not. The last thing I want to say about this Tatum return is that the oh man, I totally lost it. Oh, one of the reasons you talked about the medical technology, the reason why it's advancing. What I heard initially, the second he got his ACL torn, like I'm telling you, the day or Achilles, the day of, or the next day, I'm listening to the podcast. Bill Simmons, he's saying the reason why this was possible and this happened is because he got transferred to the hospital to get his surgery that night. Like he, because the doctor was in New York that they were going to go to anyways, and they were in New York when he got his he got his injury. So he got the surgery, I believe, within 12 hours, and I think that was one of the reasons why he was able to recover this quickly. And
Cool.
it is, it's
But don't they
amazing.
usually wait like a week max to get a surgery?
Yeah, and I think they did it
Unless
that
they're like,
night.
oh, what? But like, that's not that much time.
I
You know what I'm
it
saying?
it's I know what you're saying. Medically, who knows what the difference is, you know? But you're right. It is only a week, but that's I think that was like the start of it. And as you've pointed out, this is a like when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and then came back the year later, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, it's possible!" Like he was the start. Now ACLs are like a 9 month injury now. They used to be 16 month, and
And it also used to be a death sentence for your career. Like, we still talk about it sometimes where it's like, oh, this guy tore his ACL. Like, is he ever going to be the same? And I feel like that's overblown at this point. It's the same thing in baseball. Like, a guy gets Tommy John, and the narrative has changed from, like, we don't know if he's ever going to be the same pitcher to, honestly, not that bad. He'll probably throw harder now. Like, as long as he's not getting multiple Tommy John surgeries, then. It's like it sucks to lose a guy for a year, but then he's just back and he's fine. It is wild.
It is pretty wild.
Shout out science
What?
and doctors. But shout out science and doctors.
Yeah, I know. I know. Maybe we should pay attention to them. They're on to something. Anyways, the last thing about Jason Tatum, Chris. Jason's middle name, Christopher. Add him
Oh.
to the list of Christophers. See count.
No, I don't think so.
Has got to be first name. All right.
That'd be first name. There's enough Chris's out there. We can't be adding Chris.
That's
Like, his
true.
middle name is Brady. Like, we have a shortage of Brady's,
That's fair. That's fair.
where I think we gotta count them all. But no, middle name Christopher doesn't count.
Okay, I respect that. As a as someone who goes into the gift shop and doesn't see their name half the time, but always sees Chris. I respect that opinion. And then last thing about basketball, because we were talking about it beforehand, Reese and the Wizards. I mean, Trae Young too. We got Trae Young played. He didn't play at all, it seemed like. He played probably 25 minutes. He looked like he was flashy. He looked like he was just kind of having fun. He was like just having a backyard basketball game, basically.
He pulled in the first quarter, he pulled up from like 40 feet three times. And I was so excited because I was like, if one of them went in, I was gonna be like, yes, like this is our, I can't believe that we get to watch this. And he missed them all.
Funny part is though, I like we didn't have a guy beforehand. Like if there was anyone on the team taking those shots, it would be like just get him off the team. Like not even I don't want to see him play, but get him off the team. Now it's like no, you can do that, Trae Young. Like you can do that. That's fine with me. I'll see you. Like he's like he plays with the basketball. Like he's like in a very, very lesser degree. He has some moves like Kyrie Irving. He has some moves like LaMelo Ball. And those guys are just fun to watch. It's just cool to see
He
someone
shoots the
fun.
ball like he's Curry.
Yes. So it's just fun to see someone have that confidence on a Wizards basketball court. But let's talk about Juju, though.
He also had a behind-the-back pass that went, like, 6 feet to the
left. That was hilarious. And then, he also had one that was awesome. Like, oh. He had, like, an awesome one. The one that you're talking about, the one that went, like, way out of bounds, I think it was, like, the first or second play of the game. And the whole crowd, like, is so pumped. Trae Young's at the ball. He does this crazy pass. It just goes, like, in row four. And we're like, all right.
I have, like, my doubts, I'll say.
But, like, try that shit. Like, I'd rather him try it. Like, we want to lose anyways. I want him to try it.
Yes.
If they're not going to play him in the fourth quarter, I want him to do some stupid bullshit. That's what I would. That's my take. Let's talk Juju, though, real quick before we get into Max Crosby. The Ravens fans are probably seething that we're talking about Juju Reese over Max Crosby, but let's do it.
They're real Maryland folk. I'll appreciate the Juju Reese conversation.
Max.
I would hope, at least.
So he ended up with 20 rebounds that game and 18 points. He's the starting center, and it's by default. Backup center is Anthony Gill. And then that's it. Longest tenured wizard. He's a dog, by the way, too. They're giving him more and more minutes, and he's just Gill. Oh yeah, he's just playing like maximum effort all times. Absolutely love it. So yeah, Juju Reese, out of necessity, is playing quite a bit and looked good. Those Reeses know how to rebound, man. They know how to rebound.
Yeah, he's a bulldog.
And I'm watching the Celtics last night against the Mavericks, and Vucevic gets hurt. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, shit, like, I wish they could get Juju Reese as their backup. Like, they don't have a backup center. And
that would actually make me so happy if he turns this stretch into, like, a legit NBA career.
They should sign him.
Bench center.
So one of the things that I learned in the class is that when you can sign a 2-year contract this late in the season and pay him for the rest of the year like nothing, and then you just have him next year. So it's like they should just. It's just
the problem with him is he literally cannot shoot.
Yeah, like his free throw. Like, we moved down to the 100s at halftime. New method, by the way, just. Snipe it at halftime. You find the seats that aren't claimed yet, and then just everyone's grabbing their popcorn and everything. You just walk right in. So maybe I'm blowing my spot here, but it's
no. I've done that. There a couple years ago, Wyatt and I went to a couple Wizards games, and we did the exact same thing. And that was against, like, they played the Bucks, and we moved down.
Oh yeah, crowd. I mean, that Trae Young game was packed. We had to. I had looked for tickets that were empty, so to make sure that we didn't get moved. I don't mind taking non-taken seats. I don't want to take someone else's seat, of course.
Also, I feel like as a season ticket holder, you've earned the right to do that.
Thanks. I hope so. I've suffered through a lot of 400 level bad basketball. But we where was I getting at this? At the free throw line, I'm seeing him at the 100 level. And it's like this weird, like, he's like a snake trying to shoot a free throw. Like, he's just, like, slithering all over the place.
Something happened between his freshman and sophomore year where he, like, couldn't shoot in one motion.
No, it's not one motion
at all. His freshman year, his free throw, like, he wasn't a good free throw shooter, but it was okay. And then, like, I remember it the first game that next year, like, in the student section, and he goes up to shoot a free throw, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, why did he just, like, forget how to do this? It's like a Markel so Fultz situation.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he just completely forgot how to shoot a basketball. Not that he was ever, like, at least he's not a guard and he's not a shooter. Like, his game is almost exclusively in the post and at the rim. So it's not like it totally destroyed his game, but his free throws are horrendous. He did shoot like 70% his senior year. There's hope.
With the fact that the Wizards got rid of Marvin Bagley, they should sign him. They should keep him.
That would make me so happy. I was more excited watching him than I was Trae Young.
People love him, by the way, at the arena. I hope that makes you happy. People are hyped. Happy. Yeah.
Off to get to another game then.
Yeah, with him, we gotta try to go when he's starting still.
I have a shirt. I have a Juju Reese t-shirt.
Nice. He's going to grab it for the people who aren't watching the video. It is. I mean, it's that's another cool story. Like, I know we have some haters in the chat. I don't know if they're active in the chat right now, but we have some Juju Reese haters. Ethan, it's funny. Ethan in the comments says, "Well, there you go, the Juju Reese shirt." Ethan said, "First time missing the beginning of the pod, and I actually didn't miss what I came for."
Saw that.
And then he said, "Juju got his shit taken by the Monstars." But yeah, just another cool story. We have Kieran's a hater, by the way. He hates Angel Reese so much that he by association he hates Juju. I told him that he can't. I have to watch the Wizards too much that he can't hate on Juju.
I actually, it's funny that he's going to be known now as Angel Reese's sister because obviously he's been such a big part of my sports life for the last 5 years that I don't even associate him with Angel Reese.
Yeah.
Because she was at Maryland her freshman year.
Oh.
And then she was gone like right away. So we were nervous that he was going to transfer too.
Oh, okay. I do remember that part. I forgot that Angel was actually in Maryland. That's good. Did she play at all her freshman year?
Oh yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was good. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, it was a bummer that she left.
Oh, that is a bummer. I mean, worked out for her, no offense, but bummer for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's all I got about Juju. Let's get to the Ravens
Probably
fans.
too much talk anyway.
What do you say?
That's probably too much anyway.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Look, this is our podcast. We do it. We talk about what we
That's right.
want
Yeah,
to
we know what we want. We've got two people on the YouTube, and
talk
then
about.
whoever else can wait for Max Crosby.
All right. My initial thoughts on the Max Crosby trade was, and this isn't about anything about either team. I just like that it was a clean trade. We got two first round picks for a player. Nothing else. We got no stupid third rounders for 2 years from now. No fifth rounder for next year. No like random player that they're gonna cut. Just make it clean, simple. Two first round picks this year, next year.
When would you like, especially compared to NBA trades too, where everything's a conditional pick and it's
Yeah.
protected and whatnot, and it's some other team's pick? Like, this is the Ravens pick this year, Ravens pick next year. That's it.
Yep. No, and like even with like the Rams trade, it's like, well, it's a third from next year. It's the Rams pick this year, but the Rams also have the 13th overall pick, and they've given up like a
Yeah.
six this year as
It's like a
well. And
fair
it's like,
catalog or
yeah.
something.
And it's like, all right, this keep it clean, keep it simple. And I kind of like how I always wonder how those GM conversations go. It's like, we really want this fifth. Like, really, it's not gonna be a deal if we don't get this fifth. I like how the Raiders are like, all right, we really want two first. Raven's like, all right, fine, we'll give you two first. He's like, all right, call it a day. Call it a day. Because it probably started with a first and a second, and they're probably like, ah, we're really trying to get a first. And then they bada bing, bada boom. I like the swing by the Ravens. There was a list of players that went for two first round picks. There was a lot of regrets on that list. You know,
Really?
it's it, let me try to pull it up because I shouldn't have referenced it without pulling it up.
Yeah, first, so Russell Wilson is a
Yep.
huge one, but I guess that ended up working out for them somehow.
Did it though? Like, I mean, Sauce Gardner most recently. Looks like a catastrophe.
Early to tell.
Too early to tell. All right.
Too early to tell.
Deshaun Watson, worst trade of all time.
Yeah, that's a big. But okay, can we take out the quarterbacks though? Is that are we allowed to do that? Can we just pick and choose?
Well, we can do Stafford, and that was a success. Big ups.
That was two firsts
Two
and
first
golf.
and Goff. Two first, a third, and Goff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but that
Okay,
worked
so
out.
yeah, we'll keep him in there then.
Jalen Ramsey worked out, also for the Rams. Was that two first round picks though? I don't think it was. No, that was way worse. That was just a Rams pick. That's the wrong list. But then we have Herschel Walker, Ricky Williams, Eric Dickerson, Keyshawn Johnson, who I don't know who that is. Jets to the
On
Buccaneers.
chat, like the guy who's on Sunday Countdown,
Maybe.
the
Maybe.
receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver for he was on the Buccaneers. He got traded from the Jets to the Bucs for two first round picks. 1986, Jim Everett got traded from the Oilers.
I don't care about even like as soon as you said Ricky Williams, I was like, we're talking about running backs now, like that doesn't count.
All right. From the most recent ones is now Crosby, Gardner, Parsons, Stafford, Wilson, Watson, Mack. So Mack didn't really work out. Watson awful.
Wait, Mack? Hang on, you went really fast there.
Sorry, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, there were no regrets.
But, right? Like, I don't think there's regrets that's side. But it's like, it just didn't work out, no? I think you're right. I don't think it's a regret.
But the regret in that situation is Mitch, not Khalil Mack.
You have a good point. He was a great player for them. You have a good point there.
He was Defensive Player of the Year that year, I think.
I think he was. Russell Wilson, though, that's a regret, no?
That's a huge regret.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it is, but also they were just the one seed, so it's.
It worked out for them, but it ended, like, it wasn't.
It worked out for them.
Yes.
But it was a bad.
They wouldn't do it
it's
again.
It's like Trey Lance. Yeah.
Yeah. So that means Stafford, yes. So that's 2-1. Watson, no. 2-2. And then Parsons, Gardner, and Crosby are all. Well, let's see, I guess. So it's 2-2 right now for modern 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. I think that's honestly kind of where I expected it to be. I expected the regret to be a little bit more. Sorry, say again.
I said it's also a gamble. Like any first-round pick, your odds are no better than 50-50, right?
Agreed. Which is why. Well, and when you're. You've been banking on these guys to develop, especially in the edge rusher position. And now you're picking, like, they are picking in the 14th or 13th, one of the two picks. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they're picking top five where they're going to get a guaranteed guy that they love.
Yeah. And especially in a draft that doesn't have a ton of blue chip talent. Like, it's not a deep draft class at the top, at least.
Not for stars. Definitely not for stars. No. So if you're, like, yeah, if you're drafting a guy at 13 that's going to be Kitty Payne, I'd rather use that pick and one other to get Max Crosby. So it's I do think it's a good move for the Ravens. I thought it was
it's the money. I think the money is a bigger problem than the draft capital.
It's funny. We're gonna get to that with the free agencies, but I don't know how much I'm like nervous about the cap space and like wasting it, but then I look at these other teams and I'm like, do I need to worry about it? And I think that's a discussion we can have later when we get to the free agencies. But
some teams can make it work, others are dreadful.
Yeah. So well, we'll get to that later for sure. But I do, like, I think this completely helps the Ravens. One of their biggest needs was pass rush the past 3 years, 4 years. So now they still have Roquan Smith. They still have a good secondary with Kyle Hamilton. They're going to get some new cornerbacks that they always just find cornerbacks that are, like, really good. Like, they'll use their second-round pick to draft a really good cornerback. And that's the other thing with the Ravens. It's like they can afford to give up these picks because they hit on these picks. They hit on every other pick, so it's not as much of a waste when, you know, like, I guess it's funny, you look at the Khalil Mack trade, you look at the Raiders, and those guys missed on every pick, so it's like, you gave up the 4th overall pick 1 year, and took Khalil Farrell and sucked. So it's, you got to look at what teams are getting, or what teams are giving up the picks and what teams are getting the picks, too. So it's like, I think the Ravens are one of the teams that I trust the most when it comes to drafting. So I also trust them the most when it comes to exhausting some of those picks on other resources, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It is surprising to see them make a move this big, though, because this is just not, it's not a typical Ravens move.
Agreed. 1,000%.
And it's interesting that it happens as soon as Harbaugh leaves.
I found that fascinating, too.
Ever in the market for a Crosby-type player. And Harbaugh, like, obviously he wasn't the GM. I don't know how much pull he had in those situations. Maybe Ethan knows a little bit more as far as the inner workings of their front office, but maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but it is interesting.
The what fascinates me is, like, Harbaugh's got to be a little pissed, right?
That's what I think.
Yeah. Like, he's like, come on, man. It's like, we're doing an all-in move after you fire me. Like, you couldn't have done this. Like, you could have fired me after this move still. You could have done this move last year and fired me. But, like, you're going to have to, you first, now you're going to fire me and then do this shit. But I do think it's funny. It's almost like they got a new GM. It's almost like they got a new ownership. It's like Harbaugh's been there for so long that it's like they finally get a new guy in there. It's like, let's make the splashy move now and then kind of give this guy a little leeway where he can eventually start to make up his own roster. But hey, we brought you in here to take us over the edge. So we're going to add a player to take us over the edge and help you out as well. So yep. They're kind of just doubling down on going, switching it up and going all in. So, and they should. It's the AFC arms race. The one thing I didn't mention last episode with Lambeau and Mike is that Pat's making the Super Bowl has made this offseason like just an arms race, an absolute arms race, because everyone thinks the Pats are no good. So everyone in the AFC thinks that they could beat the Pats. So they're just like, that's why the Bills loaded up on DJ Moore, which we had to talk about. That's why the Ravens are now trading for Max Crosby.
Are you saying, I don't know if this is any different than any other season.
Think like, so?
You think that because the Pats made the Super Bowl that teams like,
I think because they were so weak going into the season and even in the playoffs, like every game talking about, oh, this like we're picking the Broncos and Jared Stidham, we're taking the CJ Stroud and the Texans. All those teams now think they can make the Super Bowl and now watch the Seahawks in the Super Bowl whoop the crap out of the Pats and go, what the heck? We could have made the Super Bowl and been competitive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, and you have a good point. Watching last year when everyone watched the Chiefs get stomped in the Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, we could have made it's kind of a 2-year period of that same thing where it's like the Chiefs were down. Someone can take the AFC reins. Oh shit, the Pats did it. They kind of suck though. We can do it. And now all these teams are really, really going gun ho. Like that's why the Bills gave up a second round pick for DJ Moore.
There's a power vacuum.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the DJ Moore trade is—it's funny. It's not as much as giving up, but you can't get DJ Moore for a second round pick. And if you have DJ Moore, you can't get a second round pick in Dynasty. You can get a second round pick in the NFL now. You couldn't get it in fantasy league.
In their defense, they can't need draft to. Guys.
Desperation, desperation for sure. Ethan says, I believe Harbs and DaCosta equally reported to Biscotti on big shit like this. Biggest takeaway is that Burrow will die this season. Yeah. Burrow will have to face.
I saw the Bukkake meme of DJ Watt.
Also, the Bengals, it's funny.
Yeah, he has like 3 of the top 5 pass rushers in football.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And TJ Watt's been kind of mid recently, but like, he still has that like.
For TJ Watt's
difference, though. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And he still has that like pedigree to him, too. All right. Where do we want to go from here? From the Raiders' point of view, I mean, they just kind of had to get rid of him. It was time. He didn't want to be there.
Yeah. And you can't ask for more than 2 first round picks, I think.
No, he's 30. He's 30 years old. It'd be one thing if he was Micah Parsons in 26, then you can ask for a player. But
and even then, like he would get an average defensive tackle who's also old.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you really can't. You can't ask for much more. So,
no, yeah, it would have gotten like Kyle Van Noy or something. Sad.
Yeah, it's always sad to let a guy like that walk out, but I do what you got to do.
No, and they had the good years for it. They have now a rookie quarterback who we have endless possibilities to do it. They now have 2 extra first round picks. They have a million cap space. Who knows? They can get wild if they want to, or they could play it safe and then eventually get wild. So they've set themselves up pretty decently from where they've looked last year.
Who did they hire? Kubiak?
Yeah. Now this was an interesting take I've heard on the draft pod that I was looking at. It's talking about and Bill Simmons as well. He was saying that he's just done taking running backs that early. And the draft guys were like, well, it kind of worked out for the Raiders. They were so bad that now they have a franchise running back. They're going to get a franchise quarterback. And now they have all to work with. But it is It's not. I don't think it's worth this debate, but it's just an interesting thing to bring up
at all.
I kind of disagree as well because it's
that's
not
a
worth
horrible
it. But it was just something interesting. Where do we? I think we agreed on this train. That's why I like the train. It was just nice, plain, and easy. Like there's not a lot of lingering details. I think great for the Ravens. I think great for the Raiders. It is funny. My Shane, who's in our Discord, I think he's been on the pod before. I don't know if he has been on the pod actually. But he was telling me, he texted me, he's like, yeah, like I get what you're saying. It's not too much of an overpay. But he said when Lamar Jackson's throwing a Max Crosby in week 8, it's gonna be a sad Ravens season. And I was like, that's a good take. Because they still don't have any wide receivers. I think they should get Diggs. Like if you're gonna go all in, he's clearly the all in chip. You put him in there. I think you get him in there.
Diggs needs to go back to the Midwest.
You think so?
Well, the thing that Ethan said in the Discord about how the Ravens didn't draft him because he has all these sketchy ties in the DMV. That, like, because immediately made me think of Aaron Hernandez. Not that I think Stephon Diggs is going to murder anybody, but.
Yeah, but just that he was in the wrong crowd.
Like, part of the documentary was like, he shouldn't be in New England because he has all these sketchy ties in Connecticut. Wanted to get out, they wouldn't trade him, and then he killed somebody. So,
oh, man. That's I didn't watch documentary, so I didn't know all that.
You didn't?
No, I didn't watch that.
It's like a 5 year late conversation, but you should.
What? Yeah, what was that? 2021?
Something like that. There's like way too much time dedicated to his high school quarterback that they were like making out, but other than that,
with him. Oh, okay. I heard that. I heard that spin to it that he, yeah. We lean that way. Anyways, Diggs. maybe you have some there. Let's keep going. Let's go to our free agent predictions here.
Mike Evans is such a Raven. Ethan just said that with the eyeballs. That would be a very Raven signing.
Yeah, Mike Evans. I could totally see that. I could definitely see that. And they pass him like 3 times a game. It's like maybe. Oh, man. Yeah, he's definitely a Raven. Like it's funny, though. It's the Diggs fits in that same mantra.
Yep.
You give him number. I guess he wouldn't be number 8. You have to have another number on the Ravens. Him 14 again. Just like he just see it. Just see the Ravens.
They have number. A 1?
Yeah. Do they got a 1? Yeah, that'd be sick. All right. Free agency predictions, Chris. What's your first one?
I have probably the most basic one ever, and that's Linderbaum to the Giants. I just think it makes too much sense with Harbaugh there.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard nonstop about Linderbaum. Like he's been one of the 3 free agents that I feel like is in the news the most, and there just aren't that many fits for him with the cap hit that he's going to demand. Like there are teams that need centers. Like the Bears need a center now, or I guess maybe they don't now. They got your guy.
Yeah, they got Bradbury. They'll probably just ride with him.
So I think the Commanders could pay him. I think
Pats could pay him.
The Pats could, but you said earlier that might not be they might have a plan there. The Chargers were a big one. They signed Biotish. The Titans could sign him, I guess. But I think the Giants make sense. Like, you have a young quarterback. You need to improve your offensive line. They could shuffle. I forget what the guy's name is. They just drafted a center 2 years ago, I think. But they could move him to guard. Bring in Linderbaum as, like, a culture guy with Harbaugh, but also as a top 3 center in football. So I just think it makes too much sense. Their cap situation is good enough to pay that salary, and they don't have any like huge extensions coming up. Like I guess Neighbors will be the next one, but they still got 2 years to prepare for that. So I think it makes sense for them.
I think that makes sense 1,000%. I had was one of my predictions. I just kind of I said let the Commanders sign Linderbaum.
Let him
because and it's kind of on a path stance, cool. And it could be the Giants too. It could be the Giants as well.
You don't want to pay that money. That's
what that's what I'm saying is let them set the record. Let other teams set the record for the highest center, and we'll see if it works out. If it works out, we'll pay the next center that much money. But well, let's like center. It's funny, and I know Mike was the center. He had this whole big center thing where the center's the leader of the offensive line and everything. I've grown up under the assumption, and I've never played football. I've never played offensive line. I've just grown up under the assumption that centers were kind of a dime a dozen. And if you have a good offensive line, the center in the middle is always I just never thought it'd be paying $25 million for a center. And that's kind of where we're getting into this free agency talk where I was alluding to it earlier. It's like the $30 million from Malik Willis, that just breaks my mind. The $25 million for Alex Pierce, that's going to break my mind.
That was insane that, to me.
The $25 for Linderbaum is going to break my mind. And like all these guys are good players. Like I understand. It's just...
The way he's gonna get like
oh yeah
$25 million.
Bo Maffei from the Seahawks, the 27-year-old, he's gonna get a bunch of money, and he didn't even play well this year. He just won the Super Bowl and played well the year before, so he's gonna make a ton of money. I mean, just looking at these guys, like, what the heck is Romeo Doubs gonna get? Like, is he gonna get like $17 million? Like, is that gonna get like that's insane?
Juwan Jennings will get at least 15, I think.
I think so too. So like there's just some crazy contracts that are gonna be handed out that I am not prepared for. Well, I guess we are preparing right now, but I'm still not gonna be prepared for. And Jalen Phillips, like what's he gonna get? 25, 30? Yeah. And Hendrickson, I mean, even though he's 30 years old, what, 2 years for $60 million? Like that's gonna be
I think his is gonna be the most reasonable of all of them.
I know, I want him. I want him. That's not a prediction. It's a want. What?
You don't think he's cooked?
No, I don't think he's cooked.
Guys that do, like, have this contract baggage and then have injuries just give me major red flags.
That's true. I think a two-year contract for the second year is, like, partially guaranteed.
Guaranteed or,
Yeah, you take a flyer on it.
If you have the money, it's worth the risk, for sure.
Agreed. Especially with where... Both of our teams are at, honestly. I think both of our teams. No?
I don't want anyone over the age of 30.
That's fair. That's 100% fair. Rasheed Walker, he's going to make a shit ton of money. All these guys.
Yeah, he's going to need Dan Moore of this team.
Yep. He's better than Dan Moore. He's way better than Dan Moore.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with my... I kind of copied this prediction. I saw it online, and I just wanted to talk about it on pod. It's a prediction that I saw that the Jets are going to sign, or they want to sign, Carson Wentz and another vet free agent.
I didn't see
that. And honestly, I honestly love it. I mean, if we're taking shots at these guys, what's Carson Wentz, 29, 30?
He
stinks.
15. Yeah, he's got to be like 34.
Oh yeah, he's 33. But like, yeah, so he's your tank commander. Like, he's just out there. He's the general of the Jets. Just seeing him in the Jets uniform, it's just like so close to the Kelly Green or the Green of the Eagles, where it's like it's just like it would be such like a like the perfect Walmart ending to his career. Back on this Green team, where he's the starter, probably have no competition because his backup will be like. Probably Brady Cook or whoever they had last year, Tyrod Taylor, and I don't know. Just you know, any chance that we have to have Wentz in our lives, we want it. And the Jets is a perfect home for him, right? Like this is it.
If they actually like, if they go into 2026 with Carson Wentz as their starter, they might as well just fire Aaron Glenn, like after week one, and just let him go watch film. For the whole season.
No, it's almost not fair to run in with
at all.
It's not fair.
You could do Justin Fields and Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's
figured out.
Oh man. Yeah, that would be bad.
I mean, it's unfortunate that they were so bad in a year that doesn't have a quarterback class at the top. But
it is unfortunate. And it's unfortunate, too, that it's like Dan Moore had the option, too, and he's like, good. I'll be straight without the Jets.
Yeah,
he's like, I'll be good without the Jets. Like, that's a tough look. Anyways, that's all I had for my first little easy prediction. I don't know if that's actually like our first ones. We wanted to pick a little obvious one, and I think both of ours could be obvious or not. But
I mean, it's not like anyone else is signing Wentz.
No, I think the Jets Wentz is probably is the only chance that he gets, unless he's on the DC Defenders.
We get booed at this game.
At the DC Defenders game, I need some of these guys to start transferring over. We need some We need some of these backups over in the XFL again, or the UFL.
Watson should be in the UFL.
I don't think they'd let him in the UFL. Probably got rules against that
policy.
All right, and then my other easy one. We kind of talked about it with making Lambeau, but just Kyler Murray, Vikings. Did you see any other options for him? I kind of like the Colts. I thought the Colts was an option too, and I was like, oh.
But they just, that would be interesting.
Because they could get Murray for a $1 million deal and then see how Daniel Jones heals. Then you're in a QB competition of Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. I mean, that's two top five picks right there.
That's too many quarterbacks.
It is.
Saying you have quarterbacks, you have none.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is a none quarterback situation. But I like him on the Vikings. What do you think?
The only other one that makes sense to me is Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Picturing him in either of those uniforms is fun. I think he'd look good in purple.
I think he'd look good in purple.
I would love to have a quarterback that can move.
I think so too, but I don't think he would do well in Pittsburgh playing outside.
I don't think he's a Mike McCarthy guy either.
He's what?
I don't think he's a Mike McCarthy guy either.
No, I couldn't see that. I couldn't see that at all. I like him on. I think on purple. I think Vikings cool. All right, what's your?
Are you dealing with McCarthy though? Like maybe that's a different conversation.
I think so. I think from what I'm hearing is that they're pretty much out on it, which just seems like a quick turnaround. Maybe he's the next Sam Darnold. Put him on the list.
Start in Minnesota and fail.
I don't know.
Like Sam Darnold started in New York.
Yeah, I know. It is a tough look to start. I want them to get Murray or Anthony Richardson though. I want them to be more fun. I mean, they have a fun offense.
Yeah.
We've been raving about this offense for what, the past three off seasons. Every quarterback that gets in there, we're like, oh, this is a perfect scenario for any quarterback. And then JJ McCarthy is like, you're right. Maybe the fact that he started in Minnesota and sucked. It's like the Sam Darnold era is out the window.
He's the DC defender.
Yeah. Exactly.
Teams that just can't make the cap work though. Minnesota is like 1A on that list.
No, they can't figure it out.
Like you look at their cap sheet and it's jarring.
Yeah, they need to sign. They need to sign a Saints guy to figure this out.
Jonathan Allen and Von Hargrave. They had like $20 million for Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, and then they went and spent like $20 million a year on Will Freeze.
Like, what are we doing? They like try to win now, and then it's like then they throw out JJ McCarthy, and it's like, oh my god.
I said the GM got fired.
Yeah,
for exactly that.
Yeah, I think so. It's funny. It's a bad situation that could be fixed by a good Kyler Murray year.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to your next prediction, Chris.
All right, I have Jamel Dean to the Rams, which I think is an interesting one because they just traded for McDuffie.
Yeah.
And I think it might come as a surprise if they go out and spend on another corner. But you also look at their team from last year, and they really had one weakness, and it was that corner. Yeah. And they have the money to sign another corner. They don't have a big contract coming up. And I guess Puka. But you're also going to have Adams and Stafford off the books probably in the next 2 years at most, right? So they have the money.
I don't think it's going to be an absurd contract. Like, he'll get paid like a top corner, I think. But that's not like, we're not talking edge rusher or quarterback money. So I think it's totally doable for them, and they're absolutely in win now mode. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them.
I completely agree. I think that's a good one. I think it's one that not a lot of people will think about. Jamal Dean had a great season last year, about career high in interceptions for him. 3 interceptions. He had 40 pass breaks up as well. Well, that was over the past 7 seasons, but 40 pass breaks up. 3 interceptions last year. I think he would be a passive fit for the Rams. And I think that the Rams are one of those teams, as you said, they have this weird window where they're sneaky young on defense and they are sneaky old on offense, and they have a lot of big money in their quarterback, in their wide receiver two, I guess. Puka's what they're one. 1A, 1B, but you know. And they have a lot of money tied up in those two guys, and those guys are gonna retire within 3 years minimum. I mean, 2 years, I think, would be my prediction on that one. So you bring in a Jamal Dean where most of these contracts are 2 years, no matter what the actual numbers are, they are 2 years guaranteed. The last 2 years are a lot of.
I don't think a corner has, it seems like, never signs a deal more than 3 years.
Yeah.
As a free agent.
Yep. Especially at 28 years old, you'll get them right for this last little run. So I think they should put all they always do. I mean, it's funny. It's telling them to do this is like telling a degenerate gambler not to put it all in and at a blackjack table or a poker table. But just put in all the chips, get it going, and I think they will. I don't know if it'll be Jamal Dean specifically, but I like the connection to it. I think they could use a Kevin Byard that's around the similar price range and the similar safety spot. Their safeties were a little bit better than their corners, though, for sure.
They just re-signed Carl too.
Okay,
but he's not a coverage guy.
No, definitely more of a tackling guy. But like any of these cornerbacks, I think they could give some money to. So I like that a lot. All right. My next prediction, I'm going to go with I'm gonna go with this one. I kind of brought it up last episode as well, but Travis Kelce to the Eagles. I gotta hear your thoughts on it. Let's get it. Let's get Travis Kelce to the Eagles. Chiefs are done. They're not doing. They're going tank mode this year.
I would make Taylor happy.
It would make Taylor happy. Think about it. His brother play. His brother's a legend on the team. His brother will come to every game. He might even unretire and play. We're gonna lose Dallas Goedert. It's like a storybook. I don't know.
Guarantee that he would resign.
I thought so too. And apparently there was some contract disputes, and now it seems like all the writing on the wall is like all the reports that I see are like he's gone.
Yeah, that's what I saw too.
So I don't know. Get one last farewell tour for Travis Kelce. I feel like that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
That's fun.
They need an offensive boost too. Like, we do need him. It's not like they wouldn't need him, especially if they don't re-sign Goddard. Like, they would need him.
You play him. Probably comes cheap.
Yes, and you play him like every other game. It's like, oh, where's Travis Kelce? It's like, oh, he's gone for these 3 games.
What? How's he not? He's not retired. Like, he wants to play another year.
I'm assuming so. I haven't seen anything about his retirement.
It's more of a rhetorical question.
Yeah,
because I just kind of assumed this whole time he was going to retire, and now here we are, 2 days from free agency, and he's.
Oh, update from Chief Star Friend. Let's see what this. Oh, he said, so Will Compton, I guess, is his buddy. He said on Twitter that he believes Travis Kelce would come back to avenge the team's disappointing 2025 season. I bet Travis Kelce runs it back with the Chiefs one more year.
24 too.
What?
Isn't that what he did after 2024 too?
To avenge the Super Bowl loss. He's just gonna keep avenging because Mahomes is not playing until like October, maybe November. Avenging. Yeah. Oh well, I just think that would be fun. I don't think it's gonna happen, but it's a wild prediction that I think would.
That is fun. I do like that. Do you think Jason would like? I kind of feel like Jason would be like, stay out of my like. This is my city.
I don't know. They're close enough. Like, they do the podcast together. He went to the Super Bowl when they were facing the Eagles. So,
yeah.
So I feel like don't know. Mama Kelsey could get one jersey. She doesn't have to stitch him again.
Yeah, they, wear 63.
They would be different numbers, yeah. That would be funny if they let him wear 62.
That would be good.
I think his brother would get mad about. What?
I said that might be the final straw for Jason.
Yeah, if they let him wear his number.
He's willing to go to the Super Bowl and like celebrate with them and all that. But like, as soon as you put on my jersey in my city, like that's taking it. That's one step too far.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's
the Eagles, I'd be pissed.
But now you get to see your little brother attempt to win a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Yes, I don't know.
It's an interesting psychology. That's a good psychology experiment. That's definitely
how big of a man is Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it'll happen anyways, but that's a fun little prediction I want to throw out there. All right, Chris, we got one more.
I have one more, and I also don't think that this is going to happen. I think it would be a good move, though, and that's the Titans trading for Brian Thomas Jr.
Ooh.
I don't think they would trade him in the division.
Are they going to trade him?
Don't have a first-round pick for Brian Thomas, though. Like, I feel like they're selling really low on him.
I don't think they should trade him.
I don't think they should trade him either, but it kind of feels like they might.
That's what I've been seeing the rumors of it. Like all of a sudden it was like yesterday. It was like the match trade for Brian Thomas Jr. I was like, is that an option?
The Broncos were a big one.
Yep. I saw the Broncos too.
Like, yes, they should. They
why
should.
Would they trade it's him in the AFC either?
Right. Yeah. So that's why I think it won't happen. Tennessee doesn't seem like a team to make a splash right now, but they have the money to extend him when he needs it. They need a receiver for Cam Ward.
Desperately.
So desperately.
Him and Pierce would be fun. I know Pierce would just be hopping to another bad team, but him and Pierce would be fun just because of his deep ball.
I guess, yeah. I'm just not, like you said earlier, I'm not ready to see that contract.
Nope.
He's going to get Higgins money.
I'm nervous. It's going to be on my team. I'm nervous it's going to be on my team. I've heard a lot of things that the Pats just love this Alec Pierce thing. I'm like, yeah, he's a great player, but $25 million?
He's a good player.
He is a good player. He's not a great player. And it's a weird, like...
You get Shaheed for, like, $10 million less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Is Rashid that much different? I don't know. He's like, it's funny. Alec Pierce is also like, I'd be able to sell myself really easily. He's one of the best deep ball players in the league. And him and Drake May would just be absolutely electric, but it'd be electric for like, I don't know, $15 million. It's gotta be electric for $25 million. All right. My last one was actually. So I've heard this is another one that I've heard some weird rumors about, and I don't know why. I don't understand it. But I think that the Giants are going to get a running back. I've heard that.
Like 10?
Like they either in the draft, I've heard that they love Jeremiah Love, and I've heard that they love. I heard that they love Kenneth Walker, actually. So. Beautiful. They might spend a crap ton of money on either one of them, or him, or then a high draft pick on Love. I guess because Harbaugh just needs more running backs. Like all those Harbaughs, it's like they just need running backs. And I don't understand it.
Like he survived with Gus Edwards for like 3 years.
Yep. Yeah, he rides or dies with the guys that he likes. And then when he finds a guy that he likes.
Henry doesn't even give him the ball.
What?
They need him the most. I said, and then Henry doesn't even give him the ball and they need him the most.
Right. Yes, and you have Cam Scatterbo. You have Tracy, who was good when Scatterbo wasn't there and was good the year before. I don't understand why there would be a need for a running back. I think the laughter is one of the reasons why I said it. And one of the reasons why this would be such a great prediction is because it would be so fun. It would be such a Giants move to finally, like, they have the chance to be like, they have a chance to be like either one of our teams were the past 2 years with the quarterback, the new coach. They have the foundation of things. And then if they go and spend it on a running back, it would just be so funny. Like, they think about it, they'd have to like trade Thibodeau to get the cap space or something, and just like completely blow up their team to get another running back. Absolutely hilarious.
If they drafted Jeremiah Love number 5, I would be so happy.
So
funny. And that is no indictment on Jeremiah Love at all.
No, he's fantastic.
Play against him, but that would be so perfect.
It would be very funny. I also think they could go after a realer prediction for the Giants. I think after a Devin Lloyd or a Tremaine Edmonds. I think both those guys.
I kind of think they're going to end up with Bobby Wagner.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You don't think Bobby's staying? Is that a Bobby decision? Oh, okay.
Well, maybe mutual, but...
Okay. So what it, yeah. The Washington... While we end this, we're going to wrap this up pretty soon. So while we end this, how do you want the Commanders to attack free agency this year?
I think they need... I really wish the draft was first. I don't think it actually should impact how they go about free agency. So you need an edge rusher. Obviously, we've been talking about that for literally years, like since they traded Chase and Montez. I think that's a no-brainer, and I think they got very lucky that this year there are several guys who you can afford because you have so much cap space. And it's like we haven't seen an edge rusher class like this where there are legitimately 4 or 5 impact players in the free agent class that are going to get paid because edge rushers don't hit the market that often. But they have like $90 million to spend. So I think they give a 3-year deal to somebody like a Mafe or an OA. And you pay what the market says because you need it desperately. I think they learned from last year that they can't just rely on guys that they know and vets on short-term contracts. Like, you need to start building a roster, and if you miss on a guy, you miss on a guy. So I think they do that, and then I think they either sign a corner or a linebacker. I think they have to sign a linebacker. I don't think it's going to be Devin Lloyd.
It's a lot of money.
But I think, well, what's that?
Just said just a lot of money.
I think it's too much money, and I think with linebackers, like, it's hard to bank on a guy like that having a repeat of the season he had last year when it's a different scheme.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like linebackers more than other players are scheme dependent. So I think they probably just go out and get somebody cheaper, almost like the Eagles did with Zach Bond. Just like identify a guy who you think fits your scheme.
You want to know the guy?
Mm-hmm.
I know the guy for both of our teams that I think both of us would be excited about. Leo Chenal. The Chiefs, the linebacker, is 25 years old. He's been versatile and just been, he's kind of like Zach Bond. He's been kind of, you can place him in different positions and kind of underutilized on the Chiefs. I feel like he could be mm-hmm. in a bigger role.
Yeah, the guy that I've been thinking of is Eric Wilson from the Vikings, who's yep. older. He's like 30, 31. But he's bounced around a bunch of places, kind of found a home last year. So we just hired Durante Jones from the Vikings. I feel like that would make sense. So I think they have to bring in a linebacker. It won't be a big splash, which I don't necessarily want it to be. I think you can get good production for low dollar signs.
Alex Anzalone. Sorry, just throwing other good names out there. That'd be a dude.
Kobe Dean.
Kobe Dean.
Although he'll probably get a decent contract.
Yeah, because he's younger.
There's health concerns there. But yeah, so I think that's my plan, is go big on one of the edge rushers. If it doesn't work out, at least you can say you tried. Small on linebacker, and then we're probably signing in another corner. Maybe that's like Arik Woolen or Nashawn Wright.
That'd be a big name, though. Who I don't love.
Huh?
So that would be a big splash, though, if you had Woolen.
Yes. So I don't know if they're willing to make 2 big splashes like that. So maybe I mean, I could also see a world in which they go, like, I don't know, you get, like, a Quiddy Pay or AJ Epinesa, who's just more of a body to play at edge, and then you just hope in the draft that you get one of the three edge rushers that will probably go in the top 10. And I think you're in a pretty good spot there. They re-signed Dietrich Wise, but then you have
Dietrich Wise. Good for him. Yeah. I was sad when he was hurt, so I'm glad that he's a good
player. I was too, yeah. You have two good, like, just first and second down edge rushers, and then you have Armstrong, you have whoever you draft, and then maybe you sign, like, a Joey Bosa or somebody old, like, just do what you did with Von Miller, just so you have another body in there. I think there's a lot of ways. I feel like I'm rambling now, and we haven't even gotten to the offensive side of the ball.
I was going to ask, what's up with the offensive side of the ball? You're just ignoring it.
Well, a lot of people, or a lot of the reporters, think that their running back, starting running back next year, is not on the roster right now. Personally, I'm okay going into the season with Bill and Chris Rodriguez. They are dirt cheap, and they're average.
Tell you that, yeah. Nailed that one.
I'm fine with it. Like,
you nailed that one.
Dan Graziano had signing Ken Walker to, like, 3 years, $45 million. I don't want that. I don't think Ken Walker is that good.
That's a hard take to defend right now.
Yeah, because he just won Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah. So it's a hard take to defend right now.
Well, what about the health concerns? Like, would you pay Kenneth Walker $45 million?
No, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I don't think the Commanders should spend that type of money on a running back. I think that they should just keep taking more shots in the draft, though. But yeah, that's not the discussion right now.
Not at number 7.
No. Hell no. No, I meant like number 160 something.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I like Chris Rodriguez, to be honest. I also think, like, I think they could definitely be in play.
You're going to get a veteran, though. They're going to sign some guy for $7 million.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, just to throw names out there, Rashad White could definitely be an option.
There you go.
Dowdle.
I would love Dowdle Commanders, man. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, so I'd be open to that. I don't want to pay big bucks. I definitely don't want ETN. Sense. He's just not, like, he's a good player. He's not explosive enough, I don't think, to get the money that he might get. We'll see. I wanted Breece Hall.
Yeah, I did want Breece Hall. It's a shame that he's not a free agent or really on the market.
What he's getting in New York right now.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But alas. And then at receiver, I think they go after Juwan Jennings because he's a Niners guy. And I think if they don't get him, I think they probably are in for Dobbs, but those markets are going to be tough. I think it's possible they end up with, like, I don't even know who the lower tier receivers on the market are. Like Jalen Naylor, somebody like that. I think they have to sign somebody because Debo's not going to re-sign. But
Wandale?
I'm wary of predicting, like, too many free agent signings. It's like, if you pony up, like, you pay $17 million for Romeo Doubs, then you're not paying the same price for Tariq Woolen. So it'll have to depend on, like, what domino falls first. I think there's one big contract on both sides of the ball, is my official prediction. Whether that's at running back or receiver, and whether that's at edge or corner or linebacker, I guess. Like, and then I think they fill in on the margins. Like, if you don't sign a Woolen type, you get a decent third corner, like a Jonathan Jones or somebody like that, who is serviceable, not really going to move the needle. But they also just need bodies. They have so many free agents because they didn't sign any multi-year deals either.
That's what makes this team interesting, is that there's just so many free agents on there. There's so many opportunities.
I think they could be a potential fit for, other than, like, Malik Willis.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, they could pay Linderbaum, and that changes the whole calculus.
Yeah, because now your offensive big splash is on the center position and not anything else.
I really, that would be interesting. Want him to be honest, thing.
I don't understand that either. He played well for you.
I want to trust him, but I don't like the fact that he signed so quickly to a 3-year deal. Is weird.
It is very strange. I like the game plan though. I think you have a good game plan on it. I think they should listen. To the Pats side, I think the Pats can go a couple different ways. I think there's a couple ways that I would not want them to go. And I think starts and maybe ends with Alex Pearson, $25 million. Again, I just said I would convince myself in 2 minutes. I'd watch 4 minutes of highlights and convince myself. I mean, this guy played with Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones.
4 minutes of highlights his whole career.
Phil, it probably is his whole career because he's at 40 catches on his career. The issue is he got 40 catches for 4,000 yards and 400 touchdowns. So, it just doesn't seem like that is worth, like, I know he's 6'3", so he is kind of taller than the other guys. Like, he's sneaky tall. He doesn't look that tall when he's on the football field. But, like, I'm a fan of Booty. I'm a fan of Pop Douglas. I've now become a fan of Matt Collins. And they just got Kyle Williams. Like, that's four wide receivers that have potential and are they play wide receiver. And have shown good moments in their careers so far. Not any, what's that? Consistent moments, but moments nonetheless. And then I think the wide receiver position is kind of like, I'm kind of in the mindset of, I'm kind of in on a 31st overall pick and a third for AJ Brown. Like, I'm kind of in on that. Yeah. Like I think the arguments against it, like main argument is like, oh, well, you can sign Alex Pierce to 25. You save $3 million from the cap or the contract differential between the two players, and you get the 31st and then another third. And I was like, yeah, the issue is the 31st pick is not going to be fantastic. The third round pick, who knows what that's going to be? And Alex Pierce is not AJ Brown. Like, AJ Brown is just like fantastic, and AJ Brown has a relationship with New England, has it with Vrabel. I think all of his weird like problems gonna go away when he just has people that he likes around him. When that first practice where Drake May tosses him the ball, he's gonna be as happy as a clam. The issue is I don't see why the Eagles do it. Like, I don't understand why the Eagles would do that. So I'm in on a first round pick and a third. I don't think the Eagles would do that. I don't want to give up anything more than that. I think that's kind of my price line.
What do they want? Like a first, a second, and a player?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the report?
That's not happening.
They're trading for a single first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, dude, Howie, come on. And it's funny because it's like Howie doesn't have, I guess he does have the leverage against AJ Brown because AJ Brown is under contract, but AJ Brown can make his life a lot worse. So can make the Eagles' life a lot worse if he wanted to. And so that's my Anthony, or that's my AJ Brown take. I think that's kind of an edge rusher, like you said. I think that is probably their big splash. It's probably going to be one of the top guys. I could see Jalen Phillips. I could see Hendrickson. I could see Adofe. I don't really want Adofe. Not gonna lie. I just never thought he was all that. And he's going to make a lot of money. But even a veteran guy, like as you said, with Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack, I think any of those guys can help them out right away. Like, I like Kavion Chaisson. He had a good season for us. He has career best season. If we can bring his money down, that would be nice. But I do feel like a bad team might give him a lot of money. The offensive line is a weird, weird game right now. Now that we traded our center to the Bears, the thought is that Jared Wilson, who was drafted as a center out of Georgia, will go back to center after playing left guard all season. Played very well as left guard. Expect him to play well as a center as well. Or we just signed some other vet. They kind of did last year with Bradbury, where they just kind of got some guy that filled in the position. And then Will Campbell's like the thing. He's a big story where I know, Chris, you're kind of in the mindset of just keeping him at left tackle from what I've gathered on your reactions to some of my requests. on things. And
I mean, you drafted him fourth overall to play tackle, and he's played one season at tackle.
I agree.
It's like,
and he got hurt. He got hurt halfway through the season.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the playoffs were such a red flag for everyone when he's a rookie going up against, like, they played a murderer's row of defenses.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry.
You're good. Oh, thanks, Ma. Anyways, I wasn't expecting that, sorry. There's an argument to put him at guard. Like, there's an argument for it. He saw it in the playoffs. But as you said, he's a rookie. He's going up against some of the best edge defenders in the league all throughout the playoffs. He is getting bodied, but he's getting, he still had decent reps out there. And he was hurt. He was hurt halfway through the season. He had a knee injury. So it's like there's a lot of factors that could have played into it. So maybe giving a bunch of money to a tackle wouldn't be a good idea. But I do think giving money to some sort of depth guard, depth tackle, especially with Morgan Moses, like he can't be relied on anymore. And I saw a fake report that he retired, and I believed it. So I wouldn't, like, he is not the long term option there. So I don't mind like a Taylor Decker who just got released by the by the Lions. I wouldn't mind a guy from the Jets, the three named Ala Vera Tucker, that guy.
Vera Tucker.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him. I feel like he's still young, would be slotted in right there. And then on the defensive side, kind of all the guys that we've already talked about. I mean, any of the linebackers. I think even Devin Lloyd one of the big name linebackers would be fun, just to have a faster middle linebacker in there. I don't think they do too much with the cornerback position. I think they're pretty set on the cornerback position. They like taking guys pretty late, so I would expect a fifth or sixth round pick on a cornerback. And that's about it. I honestly, like, I don't think they do anything with running back besides get some guy in the depth. They need a third running back. And then it's kind of offensive line shifting around and a wide receiver at some point. Like, there will have to be a body gets brought in, whether it's the draft, whether it's AJ Brown, whether it's Alex Pierce. I hope it's not Romeo Doubs or Alex Pierce or any of those guys. I like those guys. I think they're good players. But the Pats, they've been looking for a wide receiver one. If you're going to spend the money on a wide receiver one, spend the picks as well and go get AJ Brown. That's my pitch to them. Or try to go get another wide receiver one. Like, there's, as the Brian Thomas things got heated up, like, there's other guys to be had, especially later on in the season or the off season. So that's kind of all I got. I'm pumped for free agency now. We're ready to go.
I know. It did feel like a quick turnaround this year, and I guess it's just I'm never expecting it to come so quickly after the Super Bowl.
Was the Super Bowl later this year? No, it wasn't. It's later next year, though. It's going to be even quicker next year.
That was it.
It's on Valentine's Day next year. Get ready.
I did hear that a couple times.
Yeah. So it's later. I mean, the Super Bowl is a month away, so it does seem like it's quick. It's very quick. But I love it. That's why the NFL dominates. It's always in the news cycle. It's always the number one. Yep. Science here. Let's wrap things up. And we'll see everyone. So it's interesting. We like to do Mondays and now later during weekends, but it seems like Monday is going to be the big day, right? So I don't want to have, I don't want to have a bunch of stuff happen right after we do the pod.
We do Tuesday Wednesday? Then?
Well, you have your class.
Or Wednesday. I'm on spring break.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we can do, all right. That means we're flexible then. We can do Tuesday or Wednesday. All right. So we'll see everyone right after all the big free agency drops. Good luck to your teams, and we'll see everyone next week. Thanks for listening.